Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
I hope you were here last Sunday. Rick Watts spoke, and it was a great teaching. If you missed it, by the way, you can go onto the website and pick it up off our podcast. What I really enjoyed about Rick's teaching and the teaching that we've been hearing throughout Mark is that it provides some great depth, some really good things for us to think about. And in particular, Rick was talking about the depths of the parables, because that's where we're at in Mark right now, and how Jesus shared them with those around him, and how they really spoke powerfully. Rick was given the assignment of speaking on the parable of the growing seed, but before doing that, he reminded us of the nature of the parable, some really cool things to think about. Number one, that there are a lot more than just nice little stories, that in fact they have a mysterious nature about them, of the kingdom of God. And they show us these important truths that ultimately, in the end, reveal our hearts. Rick also said last week that Jesus used the parables in face of trouble or crisis. And as we've been moving through the Gospel of Mark, you know, that's exactly where he's been heading through those first three chapters. There's this dangerous kind of animosity that has been growing towards Jesus. And so the parables are well placed in Mark as there is trouble and crisis a-coming. For those who would follow this radical Messiah, the stories, the parables, effectively bring kingdom clarity and healthy introspection. And then when it comes to the parable of the growing seed, Rick shed some interesting light on the nature of the seed itself, which represents God's growing kingdom. He said the seed is a wild seed. It is not a domesticated seed, and so it can't be controlled by the farmer who sows it. In other words, the kingdom of God does not need our tending. It cannot be controlled by us, and so we ought not to try to control it. It has a mysterious nature about it, and so it can't be fully understood by us. And so our role as believers need to be the way that the farmer played his role out, to sleep and to rise and to sleep and to rise, and basically to live our lives as godly people and to trust and submit to God's divine way, which led Rick to complete his message with a question for all of us who would follow Jesus, and that was, how is your heart? How is your heart? Well, Jesus doesn't leave the understanding of the kingdom at that. He brings greater dimension to it through another parable, which is what I'm going to talk about this morning, and that is the parable of the mustard seed. So if you have your Bible, you can crack it open, or your phone, or your iPad, or whatever you have. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 30. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Jesus used similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. Well, some of you may know this, but in my earlier life, I was a broadcaster. I was in the broadcasting industry for about 15 years. I don't know why you're laughing. It was quite a career. I started my career on radio, though. I was actually a country music disc jockey. Yeah, really. Yeah, I hated country music, but the job was there, and I took it. But I'll tell you what, for me, it was all about the voice. I knew these other broadcasters who, when they spoke, it was like a radio was coming from their mouth. They were bassy and stuff, and so it was all about the voice. So I practiced my diction, I practiced my breathing and all of that stuff, my tone, and pretty soon I kind of started to slip into radio mode. Here goes. "Good morning, everyone. It's 11:20 on a beautiful Sunday morning. Stay tuned for the best of country music right here on Super Country CFFM Radio." Oh, <yeah. laughs>
That's really quite embarrassing, actually.
So here's the deal. Of course, on radio, listeners can only listen. They have no idea what you look like. They can just hear your voice. And I can't tell you the number of times somebody would come up to me and they would find out that I was a radio disc jockey they were listening to, and they would say this: "You don't look at all like you sound." You know, and I was never really sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. I'm thinking now it was probably a bad thing. But here's my point in all of this. Often things are not what we expect them to be. And I would suggest that that was one of the points that Jesus was making when he was using the mustard seed to illustrate the kingdom of God. Jesus describes the mustard seed as the smallest of all seeds. So you've got to think about the context. Initially, this might have been seen as a bit of an odd description for the kingdom of God. Jesus' contemporaries would have considered the kingdom of God to be so vast, really, to defy understanding. But he goes to the opposite end of the spectrum to describe the kingdom. Well, of course, the point of the story lies in the kingdom potential of the seed. It's not what it appears to be. The kingdom, as Jesus is describing it, it starts surprisingly small in an unobtrusive kind of way, but it takes root and it grows and its power is vast and it's far-reaching. You may remember our Christmas series. The title of that Christmas series was "When God Was Little." And I think that the illustration of the mustard seed works really well for that. You know, the baby that arrived on that first Christmas day in Bethlehem, he was small. He needed to be cared for. And upon first glance, he was no different than any other Jewish baby. And to the casual Jewish observer, his mundane future as a carpenter's son was really nothing to be excited about. But often the things of the kingdom are not as one might expect them to be. See, this little one in the manger would ultimately grow, rooted in his Father, fed and led by the Holy Spirit, and he would rock an entire planet, and he continues to do that. Small starts, whether the Christ child or whether the mustard seed, they really do reveal the mysterious, powerful nature of the kingdom of God. And often we find that our preconceived notions of what it should look like really fall short from being accurate. You know, throughout the Gospels, Jesus really shakes up traditional thinking with countercultural teaching and truths, which were not as his contemporaries would have expected. Things like this: the humble shall inherit the earth. To lead, one must serve. To forgive, to be forgiven, one must forgive. We are to love our enemy, and we can't earn our way to heaven. Even Jesus' choice of the mustard seed growing to a mustard bush has kind of an untraditional element about it as well. Mark 4:32 says, "But it becomes the largest of all garden plants, and it grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Well, as he often does, in this verse, Jesus is alluding to some well-known Old Testament passages that kind of presented a similar reaching picture of the kingdom of God. One is in Daniel, and the other is in Ezekiel. This is what it says in Ezekiel 17:22. "This is what the sovereign Lord says: I will take a branch from the top of a tall cedar, and I will plant it on the top of Israel's highest mountain. It will become a majestic cedar, sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in the shade of its branches." So we see it, the image that is cast here is of a mighty cedar tree that ultimately envelops the earth. And it really provides that picture of the kingdom of God superseding any other kingdom. Cool stuff. But isn't it interesting that Jesus is speaking about a mustard bush that only grows to about 9 feet? Like, why is he doing that? Well, for certain, it grows large from a tiny seed, for sure. But Ezekiel was talking about a tall and a mighty cedar, a majestic tree that would far outdistance any good-sized mustard bush on any given day. So why not use the mighty cedar in his parable? again, because not everything of the kingdom is what we expect. Remember this, the Jews were expecting the arrival of a king warrior who would bring down the Roman Empire and free them. But in his teaching, in the way that he lived, Jesus was again kind of shaking them out of the traditional box. See, the parable of the mustard seed gave Jesus this other opportunity to really challenge Israel's expectations of what the Messiah would look like and what he would be. Jesus did not come to be the mighty cedar. The great warrior king that they had anticipated would not appear as they thought. See, instead, the Messiah came in lowly estate. He would live humbly as a servant. And he would die horribly at the hands of those who they presumed that he had come to defeat. The kingdom of God did not begin in the way that they thought it would, nor would it look like what they expected it to look like, because what they expected of their warrior king, listen, was actually far too small. After the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost, the followers of Jesus would have a much greater understanding of the advancing kingdom of God. But at this moment, at the moment in which Jesus uses the illustration of the mustard seed, their traditional expectations were high, and their understanding of the unfolding gospel was limited. And as Rick suggested last week, the parables were a way of slowly unveiling kingdom truths because they couldn't cope with so much at one time. But still, in the midst of all the growing arguments and the pushback from culture, the parable of the mustard seed really provided the disciples with some great hope, great hope. See, it was like Jesus was saying, no matter what it looks like today, even in the midst of the controversy and the pushback and the threats, the I am is still the I am. Even though it might look different from what you expected, you've already seen and experienced some mind-blowing things, but just you wait. This is just the beginning. There is more coming because the mustard seed is far more than what you expect it to be. Far more. So there are, I think, are two strong points that we can take from this parable. Number one, the kingdom operates in ways that are often not what we expect. And we need to steer clear of making comfortable assumptions, because that will always get us into trouble. They will box us in and they will make us think small. The kingdom is not about small. It's not about small. And secondly, we learn this. From the smallest of things, there can be the greatest of potential if God is in it. From the smallest of things, there can be the greatest of potential if God is in it. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 17, verse 20. I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. See, nothing would be impossible. Nothing. So let me switch gears here in the remaining few minutes this morning that we have together. I'd like us to shift gears, and I'd like us to consider the mustard seed from the viewpoint of both kingdom growth and our own community's call to live in faith, to believe for something much greater than ourselves. Let me begin a little bit with some of our church history here at Living Waters. You need to know that there's been a bit of a mustard seed story here. When you drive into the parking lot on a Sunday and you go by that small church, you need to know that that church, that small church, was planted in faith about 70 years ago. That small church that sits there, actually the wood that built it was cleared from this land. It's got some really cool history. And it began with the seeds of prayer, the seeds of great faith, and with the hands of just a few people. It was very small. Back then, the church was called Emmanuel Tabernacle. Whoa. Really cool. And you know, over the years, the congregation there, it grew and it got smaller, increased, decreased, all of that. There were some amazing seasons that occurred at that small church. And there were some other seasons that were very challenging for that small church. And interestingly, there was a time when the church appeared to be something other than it would become. Twice the church was almost closed for good. But as with the mustard seed, there was something more ahead, and God made it so. On the literal verge of its last closure, God called Ken Gilardi and his wife Eunice here. And believe me, it was a last-ditched attempt to save a dying church. The seed was very, very small. Ken and Eunice came not only to pastor a remnant, but to build faith and to believe for better things ahead. So you've got to think mustard seed here. As they, with about a dozen others, determined that it was God's desire for them to build this church, the bigger church. We'll talk about unexpected thinking. In fact, I'm sure that those around them, many of them would have said it was foolhardy. The small congregation could not afford to build this building, nor could they afford to sustain it. From an outside perspective, the seed looked just so small and unlikely. But God was in it. And this church was completed about 15 years ago, and not a nickel is owed on it today. Ken and Eunice were later called to serve on the island just a few years actually after completing this building. And there was this small team that remained. Darcy and Leanne McAllister were here. Brett and Natalie Donald were here. Brett served as the part-time youth pastor. He's now serving at City Lights in our church plant. He was a part-time youth pastor for us then. And Luke was here as an intern, in his younger days when he was really good-looking. Jennifer Burmeister was here helping with children, as was Asanju Bunga. It was a small team, and Lynn and I had the honor of joining that team about 7 months after Ken and Eunice left. About that time, the congregation size was around 40, 50 people, depending. But, you know, we knew that God had more in store for the seed, more in store for the seed. In fact, before I was even called here, I knew that God would have me in the house, but those who were making the decision didn't. And I used to come and I would pray throughout Fort Langley and do prayer walks and so on. And I was even afraid to park in the parking lot because I didn't want to be too obvious. And so I would park in the parking lot next door over at the shopping center, and I would pray and I would write in my journal. So this is one of the journals that I wrote in. This is an entry from August 20th, 2005. Linda and I came in February of the following year. From where I sit, I see the church. It's hidden by some trees, but the bell tower stands above it all. My dream would be that somehow the church of Jesus would stand above the rest like the bell tower, above the clutter of the world. There would be a loving, embracing community of believers. Believers who take what they know to be true out from behind the walls of the church into the places Jesus would have us go. I dream that somehow this church becomes a place in which the love of Jesus is discovered personally, celebrated corporately, and shared freely as it was to us. I love that dream. I feel like I can see it. The place is packed. New people who have not experienced church, who are willing to give it another shot, are there. They are there, and it's authentically joyful. You need to know that picture that I had of the church, this place was packed with young adults. Packed with young adults. They know, or they're learning, the path of Jesus is not easy, but it is the only way. Old timers are liberally sprinkled in the crowd. They love what they see because they see Jesus all around them. As much as there is great joy and exuberance, there are also incredibly deep, quiet moments in which the contemplation of the cross has brought the heart to a fresher revelation. There's a singleness of heart and mind in the house. A clear, express sense of this is where I belong, and we know where we are going. Our vision is natural to us because it is the Lord's. No human has fabricated it. Many in the house are leaders. Old pastoral paradigms have been broken. Gifts have been recognized and people released to do what the Lord has called them to do. Love for one another is expressed as Jesus would, with grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, understanding, encouragement, courage. There is a sure knowledge that the Father is pleased with his children. There is enough faith in the house to shake its very foundations. It is faith as Jesus described it. Its discovery in our lives is progressive, and it is amazing. God's patience is clear, as is our determination to push through our weaknesses and into a place of healing, and yes, supernatural events that are a result of our belief and the hand of God at work. God had a picture of this house, and we sit in that picture today. God was faithful. He is faithful. He grew his church. And today, our community would have increased at least 15-fold. Through God's hand, today we have 40 life groups with at least 40 or 50 life group leaders who are released because that is their gift to lead. We support about a dozen global workers, and we give away tens of thousands of dollars to those who could really use the resources that God gives us. And we've been able to develop many water wells around the world, and we've planted a church in Burnaby, BC. Oh, please hear me on this. This is all the doing of the Lord, and none takes credit for this at all. We give all glory to God. All we need to do is show up and be obedient and do what God asks us to do. And I've often said it, and I'll say it again, the most important thing for us to do is get out of the way. You see, the kingdom of God is mysterious and it's powerful. God has given life and breath to his church. You know, every year as a team, we wonder if God is going to continue to grow the church or whether, you know, the growth is going to subside. But it doesn't seem to stop. Do you know that since we added the fourth service in September, our community has grown by another 100 people. The Lord continues to do his work among us and through us, and we believe absolutely that there is more that he would have us accomplish. We may not be a mighty cedar. In fact, we're not called to be that. But we are called to extend our branches so that many more can call us home, because all are welcome here. All are welcome here. Now, let me get specific. We believe that the Lord is calling us to another church plant. And we think that based on our current growth, that we're going to need to be in another church plant within a year or 2 years. Otherwise, we're going to run out of room again. And I doubt very much that we're going to add a fifth service on a Sunday. So what we've been doing over this last number of months is we've been developing a practical church multiplication strategy. And in fact, tomorrow, our pastoral team and our council are going to meet together, and we're going to continue to flesh that out and put some specifics together. But I wanted today to let you know where we're at, where we're at today. First of all, this is what we think it's going to look like. Our leadership team has determined that the new church plant will look like us. There are many ways to describe a church plant. Some people would use the word a satellite or campus. It doesn't really matter. The point here is that wherever that expression is, it's going to look like us. It will have Living Waters DNA. It will carry the values that we carry of community and authenticity and generosity and so on. So it will look an awful lot like us. Second is, we haven't yet determined a location, but we believe that the church is going to be close by, meaning that we would be able to jump into our cars and get there pretty quickly, and so there could be some good cross-pollinization, which I think would be so cool. Third, over the last number of months, we have been undergoing a process where we would identify those who could potentially be leaders within that community. And in fact, we have already conducted 6 different assessments of those who would potentially lead us. So we're well on our way down that path. These are people who are within our community, which I also think is very cool. Fourth, we know that any church plant is going to require financial resource. You know, we got to rent a location. You're going to have to rent equipment, all of that. And, of course, we have to look after the pastoral team that is there. And to that end, and through the generous giving of this community, we have been able to build up a resource reserve that we will continue to build as we invest in the mission of this community by faith. So what I'm saying there is because God knows, huh? He knows exactly what we need. He has developed a generous community. So today, we can say that there is resource already set aside and will continue to be set aside for this. It's amazing stuff because God knows. And fifth, we want to ask you to pray. Now, you know I was going to say that, but I want you to pray two ways. I want you to pray about this. We need to be a people of faith and of courage to do this. We live in a culture where there's a ton of pushback and a ton of argument. I can't think of a better time or a place for us to raise the flag of Christ in another neighborhood. I can't think of a better time. But we need to pray this through. We need to pray it through. We need to pray for God's wisdom, for his power, for his presence in all of this. So I'm going to ask you to just begin to pray. And I think right now there are people who are within our community who know they're going to be there. My hope is that we will send a community of between 50 and 100 people to be a part of this church plant. I believe it. And let me say it again. I think God is already today whispering to some who will be there. So you need to pray about that, where God will have you in the next year or two. Let me just go back to the parable of the mustard seed. Remember, kingdom growth only occurs because God is in it. And so we take that truth and that responsibility very seriously. We know, we live in it. God has been growing his church. He is in it. And we know that the nature of the kingdom of God is not to celebrate the status quo or to stand still, but it is to move forward. And it is our assignment. It is the mission of this church. You know, among the 7 values that we hold to here, we have the value of the Great Commission. Let me just read it to you. It says this: we are a people who understand the church is not limited by its building or by a street address. The church is us, and we are called to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of those who are far from God who live there. We see the sphere of our influence ranges from our backyard to our world. We are passionate about the gospel that has set us free. So from the very beginning, from the seed that was planted next door in that small church to what God has done here, do you see? It's just a continuation of the growth. Look at the mustard bush. It extends out. And what does it do? It houses the birds. And so for us, this is the call that is upon God's church, is that we would extend and that there would be room for all who would settle here. For all who would settle here. Would you stand up, everybody? Let us pray in faith before we go this morning. Father, we thank you. You are amazing. You have called us to be a people of invitation. And Lord, that is our desire, is to be a people of invitation. We recognize that close to us, wherever we live, we are in neighborhoods that are in absolute need of your truth, absolute need of your freedom, absolute need of your healing. And we also recognize, Lord, that your word says that how will they be reached if no one goes? How will their lives be touched if no one shares? We feel that burden of that responsibility through you, Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we contemplate our future together as a community and what that might look like. Lord, would we have your wisdom? Would we have your grace and mercy, O God? May we have courage to step faithfully into places that may be hard, but where you are calling us to be. God, I pray today that we would be able to expand our branches in a big way. Lord, that many more would come who desperately need you today. We give you thanks. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. And as people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Be out there today. Be a good mustard seed. Plant yourself well. See you next Sunday.